Welcome to the opening edition of the Great Decisions podcast series, a program of conversations in which the Foreign Policy Association explores headline issues with leaders whose decisions today will mold the world of tomorrow. This is your host, Sarwar Kashmiri, and my guest today is Lieutenant General Robert Caslin, Jr., the 59th Superintendent of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, a command he assumed just 3 months ago in July 2013. General Caslin is himself a West Point graduate, class of 1975, and brings to his command an extraordinary resume built over almost four decades of service. He has held senior command positions in Iraq and Afghanistan, and at the highest levels of the Pentagon. United States foreign and security policy today finds itself confronted with an unprecedented situation. The world's only superpower has not been able to prevail over enemies of inconsequential means after a decade of conflict. How does the world's foremost military academy learn and change to cope with this new reality? My conversation with General Caslin. Going back over 10 years, we look at Iraq, we look at Afghanistan, especially Afghanistan. And pardon me if this is a pointed question, but here we are, a country with a GDP of $13 trillion, and after a decade, in spite of the superb work done by the military, we've not been able to prevail against a force that has almost no GDP. So do your cadets at West Point ask why that was, and what lessons do we take away from it, and does that change the curriculum in any way?
Well, it will change the curriculum, but I think the bigger question needs to be asked of the military and the Department of Defense at large, you know.
Yes.
When you deal with a group of people, let's say the Taliban, that have hardly any GDP as compared to a large GDP that we in the United States have, and why are you not more successful sooner or quicker? I guess the answer is, what does it take to fight an ideology, and how do you change a culture?
Yes.
And I think that's the crux of it. So you can't kill your way out of this particular fight. And it's really an issue of changing a culture, one that's been built on generations, and it's questionable whether or not you can even do that in the first place. But underneath and underlying the culture is the ideology.
Yes.
So how do you deal with that ideology? And I got some ideas and thoughts about it. I mean, that particular ideology, one that has an extremist viewpoint, only is modified or at least altered when it comes in play with moderates of the same culture.
Right.
So it's the clash between ideologies, between moderates and extremists. And then at some particular point, there's got to be introspection within the culture, so that the outcome of that introspection is to abate violence and to at least have a period of time where they want to use communication and dialogue to resolve differences rather than violence.
But do you think that it's unfair of me to ask this question of you as a soldier? I mean, that every time the powers that be have turned around and told the soldiers, go take that hill, they've taken the hill. But it seems to me that this is much deeper than a military responsibility, or am I wrong?
No, I think you're exactly right, and it's a fair question, and it's a tough question that in the post-war years, we've got to ask that of ourselves, because if we don't ask it within the military of this question of ourselves, then I'll guarantee you society is going to be asking it of us.
Right.
And we ought to be thinking of it. I mean, after every war, you've got to be able to do your after-action review to find out what did you learn from it, what's taken place. The big fundamental question we got to ask ourselves is, what does it take to change an ideology, or do we even want to try to broach that in the first place?
Right.
You know, the funny thing is, in the early war years, with Rumsfeld and when we first went to Afghanistan, we realized that we did not want a big conventional presence on the ground. We realized how important that was because we looked at all the times in the history of Afghanistan where other countries had tried to do that. Most recently was in the 1980s with the Russians, and how every single country had failed over and over again. So
yes.
Why would we want to do something different? So our entire strategy was built on something of a small force that was going to partner with indigenous forces and to change the government. And its main purpose was to deny safe haven, so terrorist organizations with global capability wouldn't have the ability to plan operations out of that safe haven.
And as I recall, we were spectacularly successful. For $400-500 million, we did quite a job.
And for some reason, all of that evolved into the establishment of a nation that had a democratic government that was going to build a capitalistic market. And I'm not sure why our national ends had changed or how they got changed, but they did. And, of course, all of that requires resources. And then all of a sudden we found ourselves in the same dilemma that other nations that had gone before us had found themselves.
So is it a big deal for you and others to take what you've just told me, and somehow introduce that into the environment of West Point?
Here's one of the things that we do at West Point that's critically important. The current security environment and the future security environment drives us to ask the question, what are the necessary intellectual, military, athletic, and character skill set that our graduates have to have?
Right.
And then we got to ask ourselves the question, okay, well, what are our leader development programs to develop those skill sets? And on the academic side, on the curriculum side, what are, based on the intellectual skill sets that are necessary, what's the right academic curriculum that will produce that skill set? So, for example, we're in the process of curriculum review right now. It's probably going to take a couple of years. We've already done it for about the first year, and we're going to really get after it this year as well. Mm. And the first question we answered ourselves in the first year is, what are our intellectual goals that we want in each one of our graduates? And then based on those goals and objectives, as we define them, then we say, okay, what's the right curriculum to achieve these goals and develop these goals and objectives? And we look at the current curriculum, we got to understand how it's going to have to be modified. Then we look at what a modified curriculum looks like. And then we compare that with our accreditation, Middle States accreditation, to make sure, you know, that this can still sustain our accreditation. So we're in the process of this curriculum review, and it's all driven by the fact that what's the future security look like and the skill sets that are necessary, and a lot of that has to do with what were the results of the last 12 years of war, and what did we learn out of the last 12 years of war. So that process is, from a strategic standpoint, is very important for what we do here at West Point.
Amazing job. So what can we on the outside do to support this enormously difficult but important undertaking that you've described?
On the academic side, we welcome all of these discussions. So we bring in these outside experts, these guest speakers, and men and women who are asking these type of questions, the same question you asked, and to have these sort of discussions here at West Point. And those discussions are not only with the staff and faculty, but also with our cadets themselves. And that gets us thinking and trying to understand the necessary skill sets that are important. The other thing that helps us is making sure that we bring the right staff and faculty in here. How important our civilian Title X faculty are because of the longevity that they provide for us, and then how important our rotating faculty are because they come out of the operational environment, particularly this wartime environment, and they bring a realization of what's necessary to be successful in the security environment. So that combination is very helpful for us.
You've been listening to a conversation with Lieutenant General Robert Caslin on behalf of the Foreign Policy Association. This is Sarwar Kashmiri. Thank you for listening.